Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi, allied with the Muslim Brotherhood, is facing pressure to reduce domestic food subsidies in order to win a $4.8 billion loan from the International Monetary Fund. But massive cuts in food and fuel subsidies could unravel Morsi's regime. In 1977, the IMF succeeded in pushing Egypt to cut food subsidies, but days of rioting forced then-President Anwar Sadat to reinstate the subsidies. In recent months, inflation has worsened to the point where many Egyptians now spend half their income on food. Food vendor Hamid Mohammed told the Los Angeles Times, "You get up at 5 a.m. to stand in line to feed your kids. This is what Egypt has become." 3 months after Cuban President Raul Castro eased restrictions on Cubans traveling abroad, the Miami Herald reports that an increasing number of Cubans are obtaining travel visas to visit the United States or going through countries such as Mexico to make their way to America. Cubans are also traveling to Haiti or Nigeria in hopes of using alternative routes into the United States, where over 1.6 million Cubans have legal permanent residency. The U.S. Interest Section in Havana has approved a growing number of tourist visas to the United States, as hundreds of Cubans line up each day to file applications. But American immigration authorities fear Cuban families will attempt to stay in the United States once their travel visas expire. Since October 31st, more than 7,000 Cubans have entered Mexico with the intention of traveling to the U.S. At the current rate, over 13,000 Cubans will enter Mexico in 2013, a third more than entered Mexico in 2011. Under the U.S. wet-foot, dry-foot policy, undocumented Cubans who are picked up at sea are returned to Cuba, while those who reach dry land in U.S. territory win a chance to remain in the United States and later qualify for expedited legal permanent resident status and eventually U.S. citizenship. The massive explosion at the West Texas fertilizer plant on April 17th killed 15 people, most of them firefighters or rescue workers. The disaster also exposed a regulatory black hole around plant safety. The fertilizer factory stored 270 tons of ammonium nitrate, the material Timothy McVeigh used to blow up the Oklahoma City Federal Building in 1995. Today, ammonium nitrate is popular with farmers who use it as an effective fertilizer for crops, but it is highly volatile and can explode if not properly handled. So far, investigators have not declared the cause of the explosion at the fertilizer plant south of Dallas. Various federal and state agencies had jurisdiction over the plant, but no agency appears to have been in charge. The last federal inspection at the plant conducted by OSHA took place in 1985. Plant managers also failed to notify the Department of Homeland Security about the size of its stockpile of ammonium nitrate. Moreover, different federal agencies have varying standards in regulating ammonium nitrate. According to Mother Jones magazine, the Environmental Protection Agency classifies anhydrous ammonia as toxic but not flammable. But OSHA considers it flammable, as do the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. After last week's explosion, the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality said it completed 7 inspections at the West Texas plant since 2002. The last inspection occurred in 2007 in response to an odor complaint. Many independent safety experts say an explosion involving ammonium nitrate was predictable and could have been prevented by adhering to strict safety standards. In 1947, over 580 people were killed in Texas City in an explosion involving ammonium nitrate. This week's news summary was compiled by Bob Nixon. For Between the Lines, I'm Leslie Rudden.